Some time ago, Beth called me on the phone. She was out of town. She came across a billboard that said, "Are you sure your heart is in the right place?" And that's the question I want to ask all of us this morning. There are many possibilities. Our heart could be with God, upon heaven, upon the world, upon wealth, upon money, upon sin. Where is your heart this morning? Simon the sorcerer, when he offered the apostles money to have the power to lay his hands on people and give them power to do miracles, Peter said, "Your heart is not right with God." That was the problem. And so let's think about that this morning. As we've already read, our heart is where our treasure is. So I need to ask you, where is your treasure? I want you to notice a few verses with me. We've already read this morning, Matthew 6, verses 9 through 21, that we have to store up treasure in heaven. Look with me in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22. How do we store up treasure in heaven? Well, I want to pull out just a few things from the Sermon on the Mount and from the Gospels. Jesus says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" To store up treasure in heaven, our eye must be clear. We must not be focused upon the lust of the eye. And perhaps you, as well as me, you have learned that if you just happen to see something that is evil, something that is sinful, it is very, very hard to get out of your mind. It seems like if you hear something, that's a little bit more easy to dismiss. But if you see something, if you read something, if something flashes on TV and you had no idea that type of thing would be coming on, or maybe you are at the movies or whatever it is, it's hard to get out of your mind. Some here say that the eye is your mind here, that we must keep our mind clear. We must focus upon the things that are good and right and holy, pure, lovely, good repute, excellent, those things that are virtuous. And we must keep our mind on our priorities. So to store up heaven, treasure in heaven, and to keep our heart there, we must keep our eye clear. But also drop down one more verse to verse 24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth or mammon." To store up treasure in heaven, we must serve God rather than wealth. And you know, there's two ways to look at wealth, and all of us here are wealthy. We can use wealth or we can serve wealth. We can use money or we can worship money. As God's children, we use money, we use wealth, and those things are necessary. But we do not serve it. We control it rather than allowing it to control us. And drop down to verse 33. We seek God's kingdom and His righteousness first. "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Seek God first, His kingdom first, His righteousness first. Stay in your priorities and stay focused on your priorities, laying your treasure up in heaven. Now for just a moment, I want you to look at the result with me. When we do that, notice Jesus says these things. Verse 25, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life." And isn't that what all of us want? We don't want to be worried. We don't want to be worried about our families. We don't want to be worried about school. We don't want to be worried about work. We don't want to be worried about anything. We want to be happy and content. How do we do that? We must lay up our treasure in heaven, and our heart is there. And then why worry about the things of the world? This is not where our concern is. This is not where our heart is. This is not where our treasure is. Don't worry about it. And I want you to notice, beginning in chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus expresses in three ways that we will have eternal life. Beginning in verse 13, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the way is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. The result of laying up our treasure in heaven, there is our heart, is that we have eternal life. That we enter into the small gate through the narrow way, and we find eternal life. Look now at verse 21 of that chapter. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Our treasure is in heaven. Our heart is in heaven. We do not practice lawlessness. We will not hear, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What is the result? Laying our treasure in heaven, we will hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. Well, how do you know? Oh, verse 24, I can't forget that. Verses 24 and 25, your house will stand. Your life will stand. Verse 24, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and acts, get that. And acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. What is the result laying your treasure up in heaven? Your heart being in heaven. Your life can withstand whatever this world has that goes against it. Whatever the Satan may bring against you. Whatever trials and tribulations and difficulties, whatever your problems may be, you can stand and stand firm. And it doesn't matter what Satan does. It doesn't matter what the events of this life may be. As those things slam against you, you will stand. You will be victorious. You will have eternal life in heaven. That is the result of your treasure being in heaven. How do you know? Turn to chapter 12 of Matthew. How do you know that's what you're doing? How do you know that your treasure is in heaven and your heart is in heaven? Verse 33, Matthew 12, 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit, and you are known by your fruit. You can look at your life. And there may be some things that only you know about, and some things that only you can examine, but you can look at your life and you can see your fruit. Yes, have you made mistakes in the past? Yes, you have. Unless you're going to die here in the next little bit, are you going to make more mistakes in the future? Yes, you are. But it's not whether or not we make mistakes, it's what we do when we make those mistakes. And we can see by our fruit that our heart and our treasure is in heaven. Verse 35, the good man brings out of his good treasure what is good. And the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. So is your treasure good or is it evil? And examine your life. Is your life good or is it evil? It is good because your treasure is good, or it is evil because your treasure is evil. Now, verses 36 and 37, our words reflect our hearts. And I want you to notice what Jesus says in verse 36. This is a little scary, tell you the truth. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for in the day of judgment. Now, these are the words we just say without thinking, and I suppose that everybody here has done that. Do you know that every one of us is going to give an account for every one of those careless words? Now that's a scary thought. Therefore, we must be very careful that our heart is good. And when we do say those things that are wrong, we correct them immediately and deal with that in our life. Change our heart so our actions are changed. Verse 37, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And so we have to put ourselves to the test. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 13 and verse 5. Test yourselves whether you are obedient in all things. In James chapter 1, verse 22 through 27, we are to test ourselves to see that we are doers of the words and just not hearers. Verse 26, if we do not control our tongues, we know that our religion is worthless. pure and undefiled religion is to visit orphans and widows in their distress, so we can look at our lives, test ourselves. Where is our treasure and where is our heart? Are you sure your heart is in the right place? Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 22. Your heart is in the right place because. Verse 22 and verse 37. A scripture all of us know. Here Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, the greatest commandment is this: to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, soul, mind. And then also in Luke and Mark, the gospel account says strength. And so this is how you know that your heart is in the right place. First of all, because you love God with all of your heart. And as Jerry prayed this morning, led us in prayer, that with our heart, with our emotions, with our feelings, that we devote all of these, with all of our affections, to God. A young lady who used to go to church here is now married, living in Atlanta. I talked to her the other day. She had a very tough decision to make. She was told that she had to work every third Sunday to keep her job. And so she thought about that. She prayed about it. They studied, her and her husband studied together, and she decided she was just going to quit that job. And many of you have made the same commitments. Many of the audience here, I don't doubt for a moment, you've either quit a job or you've decided not to take a particular job because it would take you away from God and serving God and worshiping upon the first day of the week. And my experience is, as I have done that, Beth has done that, that the Lord blesses us every time. And we end up with a better job than we ever had. This was her commitment, and I know for you, this is your commitment also. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. We love God with all of our hearts. Luke chapter 8. As I went through the Bible and I was just looking at various scriptures that talk about our heart, I pulled out about six things or so. Luke chapter 8 and beginning in verse 11. Here Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower. And in verse 11 he says, now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. And he says in verse 12, those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. And you did not do that. You did not allow Satan and all the things of the world and temptation to come and take the word of God away from you. You held on to it, the word of life. Drop down to verse 15. But the seed in the good soil, this is you. These are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. You know your treasure is in heaven. You know your heart is in heaven because you love God with all of your heart. And you hold fast to His word. You do not let go of it, and you allow it to make and mold you as a child of God. Psalms 119 and verse 11, you treasure God's word in your heart, and so you do not sin. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, God's law is in your heart as His child. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that word, that gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. And that's not just not being baptized into Christ, that's in every respect leading to salvation. And it performs its work in you who believe, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Matthew 13 and verse 15, you do not become dull in your hearing. Rather, Hebrews 5, 11 through 14, you've trained your senses to discern both good and evil. Therefore, Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, you obey God from the heart. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 7. You know that your treasure is in heaven and that your heart is in heaven because you love God with all of your heart. You hold fast to His word. Mark chapter 7 and beginning in verse 6. You walk the walk. You just don't talk the talk. You're just not worshiping, praising God with your mouth. but with all of your actions, in addition to your speech, you are praising and worshiping God. Mark chapter 7 and beginning in verse 6. And he said to them, speaking here to the Jews, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, neglecting the commandment of God. You hold the tradition of men.'" And you're not concerned about the traditions of men. You're concerned about the traditions of God, which are laid down in His Word. When I went to college as a freshman, I didn't know what I was doing, into the music program. And I guess all the freshmen like to come in and they'll have their auditions at the beginning of the year, and they like to tell the professors that they're pretty good, you know. And boy, I had one that would just lay into every one of us. He would say, "I don't want to hear how good you are. I don't want you to tell me how good you are. I want to see how good you are." And that's what we do as Christians. You know, the young men that come into our preacher training program, almost right from the bat, I tell them, when someone asks you how you're doing, don't tell them you're busy. You know, there's some people just always got to be telling you they're busy. They're busy. And it seems like preachers are the worst at it. "How you doing?" "Oh, man, I'm busy." My experience is if you're busy, you don't have to tell anybody about it. And that the people who have to tell you they're busy all the time are those are the ones that are sloughing off. And everybody's busy. Let people see that you're busy by what you're doing, the result of the fruit of your work. Don't tell people that you're busy. Don't talk the talk, rather walk the walk. And that's what you do as a Christian. You know your heart's there in heaven. That's where your treasure is if you're walking the walk, just not talking the talk. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. You keep yourself pure because your heart is pure. You're holy in all your behavior. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. Jesus says, Matthew 15 and beginning in verse 18, "But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." You know that your heart is in the right place because you're living a pure, holy life. The actions, our actions, our words come from a heart. And they're a direct reflection on our hearts. And you know that your heart is in the right place. You're storing up treasure in heaven because of your behavior. That's like the song that we sing, number 150, "Pure in heart, O God, help me to be." Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. You know your treasure is in heaven because you pray all the time. Now perhaps a lot of these you've thought about that I mentioned this morning, but maybe you've not thought about this one. You know, our treasure, where our treasure is reflected in our prayer life. If our treasure is in heaven, we're going to be praying all the time. And Jesus teaches here in Luke 18 and verse 1, He was telling them a parable to show that all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. Get it? Not to lose heart. What do you do not to lose heart? Well, we pray. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, 'Give me legal protection from my opponents.' For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, 'Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out.'" Now Jesus is not telling us that we wear God out. And he's not telling us to aggravate God like spoiled brats to the point that he's going to give us whatever we want, but he's telling us to never lose heart and to continue praying over and over and over and over again and to never give up with those prayers. This reflects the fact that our treasure is in heaven. And I ask you to think about, does your prayer life reflect the fact that your treasure is in heaven? 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 17, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Be prayerful in your thoughts. Throughout the day, be prayerful." You know, God is the giver of all good gifts. The other day I was out messing with my car, and I've got him on the right side of my car. I've got the rear view mirror that's outside the car. It's messed up. And it happened a long time ago when I hit something. And so I finally figured out how to fix it, because it'll come up off the little post that's there, and it'll just sort of flop over. And I've learned how to put that thing back on there. And I've had trouble with fixing it again. Something happened and it got raised up off that post again. And it's been on there most of the way, but not all of the way. And it's been aggravating. And so I was out messing with my car, and I said, I'm going to try this again. So I got that mirror fixed, and it went down on the post. And the first thing I did was say a quick little prayer, because I was glad that I get my mirror fixed. And God is the giver of all good gifts. And so I was thankful to God for that. That may seem crazy, huh? That may seem ridiculous to thank God for getting your little mirror down on a post, but isn't that the way our attitude should be? I mean, just all day long, thanking God and praising God for every good thing and asking Him to help in every situation. That's what we're talking about. And if our treasure is in heaven, and if our heart is in heaven, aren't we going to be praying to God who's in heaven all the time throughout the day? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And do we believe that? In every aspect of life, even fixing a mirror on a car, do we believe that? One last point this morning, Matthew chapter 24. You know your heart is in the right place. Matthew chapter 24. Yes, because you love God with all your heart. Yes, because you keep the Word of God. You hold to it fast. You don't let go of it. You're walking the walk, just not talking the talk. You keep yourself pure because your heart is pure. And you don't lose heart. You're praying all the time. And you're ready for the Lord's return. Right now, you're ready for the Lord's return. I may not even get to the invitation this morning before the Lord comes back. And I'm about done with this lesson. That's how quickly it could be. Matthew chapter 24 and beginning in verse 44. And Jesus here is in the middle of teaching about readiness. Verse 44. For this reason you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not think He will. Who then is a faithful and sensible slave, whom his master put in charge of his household to give him their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, that's what I want you to get, says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time. You get the difference there. One in his heart says, my master can be coming just any moment now. I am ready right now. The other says in his heart, I've got a long time. You know, I'm young. I've got many years to go. The Lord, I mean, there's no thought of the Lord coming. I've got a long, long, long time. You know, brother so-and-so, he used to live that way, but the Lord gave him a long time. He wasn't baptized till he was about 80 years old. The Lord gave him a long time. I've got a long time. See, that's an evil slave. You're not like that. You're a good, faithful slave. You're ready right now. It's like the parable of virgins. Jesus goes right into that in chapter 25. There were five that were ready and there were five that weren't ready. And you know the story as it goes, that those who weren't ready, when the bridegroom came, it was too late to get ready. You understand that, so you're ready right now. And then he goes right into the parable of the talents. And he talks about giving these three fellows, one he gave five, one he gave two, and one he gave one. And two of them went, and they worked hard, and they were diligent, knowing that their master would come, and there would be judgment one day. And the other one, oh, he thought he was just sort of being wise and prudent. He didn't want to lose it. So he hid it away. But his master came by at judgment time and said, look, you evil and wicked slave. You're not evil and wicked. You're ready and you are working. Your heart is in the right place. You love God. You keep His Word in your heart. You walk the walk. Keep yourself pure. Pray all the time. Ready for the Lord's return. If there's someone in the audience this morning, though, if you realize your heart is not in the right place, today is the day to put it in the right place. We're going to sing the song, 2:63, is thy heart right with God, in just a moment. And so I ask you to think about this, putting your heart in the right place today. How do you do that? Well, you obey the Lord. That's how you do it if you're not a Christian. Believing in God, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Repenting of your sins, turning away from the wrong to do the right. You may say, I don't understand that also. That's fine. We'll show you from the Word of God. We'll help you understand it. Confessing, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. That will put your treasure in heaven that very moment, having been baptized into Christ. But maybe you're here this morning, your treasure used to be in heaven, but it's not any longer. As a Christian, you can put it back there by repenting of those things and confessing them, praying for forgiveness, and we would like to pray for you today. Is thy heart right with God? If it's not, won't you step to the front this morning as we stand and sing?